You're listening to the Westside Podcast, a part of the LA International Church of Christ family of churches, worshiping God in LA since 1989.
Well, good morning, Westside Church. Great to be together with everybody. What a crazy, unique January it was, right? It's good to be into February. A lot of things have been happening in the country. And LA, right, took a beating in January. Many, many things happened. What I'm really encouraged to share with all of you is we had an incredible event serving the fire victims over the past couple weeks. I know a number of you went out and volunteered. Many of our sister churches and members up in our Lifeway Church volunteered. It was a tremendous event where Hope Worldwide brought in over 100 volunteers from all over our Los Angeles family of churches to serve. And then I know Billy, our local Hope director, met with a number of people to plan out ongoing service projects, which I'm really encouraged by. We're really making a difference. I know as a church, we some time ago said we want to be the kind of church that if we weren't here, people in the community know it. And I know that's the heart and commitment of all of you. And so I know as we move forward throughout the year, I want to call on us to continue to serve. The plan right now is that Hope Worldwide will eventually, in partnership with our Metro LA ministry and Westside and Coastal, we're going to have a Center of Hope with an ongoing project. We really want to sponsor that. So I know a lot of you give each week to Hope. What we're doing is we're going to give, and this year we want to keep the Hope offering for our local Hope work. So they're doing amazing work all over the world. But Westside and Metro and Coastal, we want to start a Center of Hope that makes a tremendous difference in the felt needs right here in Los Angeles. Amen. So please have that in your heart and prayer. Let's focus on relationships as the key to life here, not what we can get out of or how we have been wronged. And that's the title of today's lesson, Take the High Road. We've been studying the Sermon on the Mount. CJ did a tremendous lesson last week talking about really how we got to have the right attitude and heart, even in our personal purity. And Jesus gives us a message of love that rises above the values of our world and the standards of our world. And he calls each of us to take the high road in our relationships, in the conflicts that we can face in life. And the Sermon on the Mount fits right in line with that. And it calls us to some extreme examples of how to love even when we feel wronged. And we're going to get into that today. Of course, Jesus is the ultimate example of it. But let's begin to read this verse about this highway. It says, "And a highway will be there. It will be called the Way of Holiness. It will be for those who walk on that way." Isaiah had predicted this new way of thinking would arise when the Messiah came, which is Jesus. And anyone who wanted to live sort of the ways that make relationships a priority and not what have you done for me lately will get up on that highway. Let's go to God in prayer as we study the Sermon on the Mount. Father in heaven, thank you so much for this time to gather. Thank you for your mercies to us. Father, thank you for bringing us through a challenging month in January. May February and on throughout the year be phenomenal examples of your mercies to us, God. Father, thank you so much for this time to study and to learn to be like Jesus, to think like Jesus, to have his mindset, to be led by the Spirit. Bless the lesson, move our hearts, we ask in Jesus' name, amen. So let's read together the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5. If you want to open up your Bible, we'll go there, and I have it on the screen as well, but let's begin reading in verse 33. "Again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, 'Do not break your oath, but fulfill to the Lord the vows you have made.' You do not swear an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. All you need to say is simply yes or no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one." So we hear this message from Jesus about not making oaths. Of course, in the Old Testament, there's quite a few passages that says you should make oaths, but you got to follow through with those oaths. In ancient times, and not only ancient times, but even in modern times, people would swear an oath by God or by their deity. And the implication was, if you don't follow through, your deity will bring, you know, justice to you. So people would say, by my God, I swear this will happen. And what ended up happening is that it developed a system of all kinds of different oaths. Now, oaths in and of themselves aren't a bad thing. Let me show you this. Here is Charlotte swearing the oath when she got, you know, elected to the school board. And that's a good thing, because she says, I'm going to uphold, you know, the standards of the state and by the standards of the U.S. Constitution. And she had her Bible out, too. I like when she brought her Bible out, you know, right there in front of everybody. And so it's okay to make a few oaths, right? These are public things that are done. Jesus isn't talking that that's somehow a sin. We read many times the Bible says make oaths. Even God himself in Hebrews says, hey, there was no one higher to swear by, so I swear by myself. So Jesus isn't really becoming legalistic. How dare you make an oath? What he's interested in is integrity. And we're going to see that. What he's interested in is that we hold to what we say. One of the Ten Commandments in the King James Version is, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Now, I used to think this meant when you're in a bad mood or you get angry, you know, you say God, you know, out loud sort of because you're hurt or mad or something, right? But really, what it meant is that you're swearing by God's authority, by God's power, and you're not to do that in vain, meaning you don't follow through, right? You do need to follow through if you're going to invoke his name. And so what the Pharisees and the religious leaders did is they go, well, we don't want to break this commandment. So they invented all kinds of ways to get around swearing in God's name. They would say, well, we'll swear by the name of the temple, or we'll swear by Jerusalem, right? That's what he was referencing. And they created a whole system wherein the only time you really were held to your commitment was when you used the Lord's actual name, Yahweh, right? So, and they would never use that name, so then they could get out of all their commitments. It was a way to manipulate people. And sadly, that kind of thing happens even in our day, doesn't it? We come up with ways to manipulate one another, or we embellish the truth, or we change it around. And yet, God says simply, just say yes is yes, or no is no. That's what Jesus is getting at. See, oaths arise because men, sadly, are often liars, right? Why do you need to say, I swear on the Bible? Well, because you're really not going to follow through. It's human nature, sadly. And the high road of Jesus' way is just say what you mean what you say, and follow through. And that's easier said than done, right? Jesus said that in John, he said, the father, that Satan is the father of all lies. And when we commit to something and we don't follow through with it, it's bad for our character and it hurts relationships. It hurts trust, doesn't it? I remember a story about my son when he was 11 years old. I'm really super proud of him. And him and his friends in the neighborhood decided they needed to make money in the summer at about 11. So they said, well, let's just go around to our neighbors and ask, you know, each neighbor if we could do some yard work and they'll pay us. And they negotiated the hefty hourly rate of $6 an hour. And they got one of the neighbors. This guy had a, you know, was a construction guy, and he had just bought the house and his backyard needed a lot of work. And he said, yeah, come by tomorrow. It was the summertime. I'll give you 2 to 3 hours of work. And, you know, and they all thought, okay, great, we'll all show up. We'll work hard together. We'll all make some money. And I'm not sure what they're going to do with the money. But so my son showed up right on time, and I didn't know about it. But then the next day, our neighbor came on by, and he said, hey, you know, is your son here? And I said, yeah, sure, come on. So he, you know, my son Kyle came to the door and he brought the money that he had worked for. And he says, I want to shake your hand, Kyle. And I'm like, well, what happened? He goes, well, your son was the only of the three that showed up. And he worked nonstop in the hot sun for 3 hours. Here's the money. I think, you know, it's like he earned 18. He gave him a 20. You know, Kyle was 11. He's like, yeah, I got my 20, you know. But he said, Kyle, I want to shake your hand. You're a man of integrity. And that kind of thing has served him very well. Later in life, when he was in college, he ended up buying this car from a friend of his who happened to be a mechanic. And it was kind of a nice car. It was old, but it was flashy. It was a BMW M2, right? So you car guys know what that is. And BMW M2 is kind of cool. It was convertible. I remember when he drove it to the campus retreat, I was like, why did you buy that? That thing's gonna break. Sure enough, like 2 days later, the engine blew up. And it cost him like something like $8,000 of his own money that he'd saved. And I was like, yeah, that was dumb. You shouldn't be, you're in college. Drive a, you know, Honda Accord or something, right? Get your Camry going. But what happened is the guy he bought it from knew the integrity of Kyle. He felt so bad. He's like, you know, I know what kind of person you are. I will refund you half the money. He sold it. So he took a loss. But because of his integrity, it was not quite the pain it might otherwise have been. Because people understood when you follow through, when you're a man of integrity, it makes a difference in relationships. Your yes needs to be yes. Your no needs to be no. That's the life of a follower of Jesus. We don't have to make grand cases for why we're going to tell the truth. Just tell the truth. And one thing I started thinking about is this. How many of us in here said before witnesses, right before you got baptized, Jesus is Lord? That's kind of our commitment, right? We said, Jesus is Lord. We said it out loud. By faith, we were, you know, baptized. We were buried in the water, right? Believing that our sins are wiped away, that through what Jesus did for us, through his death, we come up by his power to new created life. And we get to live this life as followers of Jesus, as disciples of Jesus. Jesus is Lord. So the question I have for you is your yes, yes, and is your no, no. Is Jesus truly the Lord of your life, of your time, of your talent, of your resources, of your dreams? Is he the Lord of your dreams, of who you want to be, of what you want to see happen in our society? Is Jesus your Lord today? This is a high calling and a good question for each of us as we consider what it's going to be to take the high road in our own life. Let's go on with the passage in the Sermon on the Mount together. You have heard that it was said, eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. Have you guys read this verse before? One of the most controversial verses in the Sermon on the Mount. A lot of people have different takes on this verse. But I'm going to give you a little insight into what I really think he's saying right there. Incidentally, the eye for an eye concept is in the Old Testament. It's interestingly enough, even before the Old Testament was written by Moses, this portion of it, right, the Torah, the Code of Hammurabi, which was a common code for 100 years before this, hundreds of years before this, had the same wording. And really, it was designed as a way to control retribution, right? It was known as the law of retaliation. The Code of Hammurabi, a king who ruled in Babylon from 1728 to 1686 BC, which was before Moses. And the point was to restrain vindictiveness, not encourage it. So actually, that was a leap forward in the moral advancement of humanity. And of course, Moses put the same thing in there from what God told him. That's a good standard. It was mostly a judicial rule. It wasn't like designed by you hit my eye, I'm hitting your eye, right? It was designed to make sure justice existed in the culture they lived in, and it was to be executed and administered really by the courts, not really individually, right? The courts would make sure that just because somebody hurt you, you don't then kill them, right? So there was just justice involved in it. But Jesus goes on in this text, and he says, I tell you, he takes it right higher. Do not resist an evil person. In the Greek, the word resist really means do not set yourself in opposition to. Do not create an enemy with this person, right? Do not be an enemy to the evil person is what he's saying. In other words, take the high road in life. Don't just set yourself in opposition to him. Instead, what do we read in the New Testament? We read this verse. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is the high road. When you are harmed, when you are injured, how do you handle it? Jesus is calling us to not base our thinking in the world standards of power and dominance and the way we want to do things. He rises above that. And his goal is not simply to do nothing. It's not just pacifism. He's not going to resist and create more evil with violence. But he has a very provocative and powerful way of addressing these issues. The Bible Project, CJ mentioned that, is fantastic. They have actually a 10-video series on the Sermon on the Mount they completed a year ago. It's fantastic. I recommend you as you're studying this. And so to explain this verse from the Sermon on the Mount, I don't think anyone can explain it better than the little clip here from the Bible Project. So let's go ahead and show the clip that we set aside that explains this little passage from Matthew chapter 5.
Well, Jesus gives three examples from his own time and place.
First, he says, whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to them as well.
In the ancient Roman world, a right cheek slap with the back of the right hand was a symbolic way of dominating someone.
And humiliating them.
But Jesus says, don't retaliate. Rather, stand your ground and offer them the left cheek. This will force your attacker to strike with an open right hand. In other words, to strike you like an equal.
Ah, and it forces them to treat you as a fellow human being.
Yes, even if it costs you.
Well, next, Jesus says, if anyone sues you and takes your shirt, let him have your coat also.
Yeah, in ancient Israel, taking a poor person's coat was against the law because it's also their blanket to keep warm at night.
Ah, but a really uncaring person could find a way around this by demanding their shirt as payment.
Right. So Jesus offers a creative response. Give them your shirt and also give them your coat.
Why would you do that? Wouldn't that leave you exposed?
Exactly. Jesus is being provocative. The goal is to shock everyone around by exposing this injustice through costly generosity.
The third example is, whoever forces you to go 1 mile, go with them too.
In Jesus' day, a Roman soldier could force any subject to carry their packs for them up to 1 mile.
How humiliating and dangerous.
And so Jesus says, carry that load not just 1 mile, but 2. The first mile, he might treat you like a pack animal, but by going that second mile, you assert your humanity as you choose to treat him like a friend.
Wait, treat an enemy oppressor like a friend?
Yeah, it sounds crazy. But Jesus is saying that bold generosity can subvert the power games of our world.
All right. Do you hear that line? Let me put this up. Bold generosity can subvert power games. Are you living by the standards of our culture? When you are wronged, you immediately want retribution? How about husbands and wives? How you doing? How you feeling in your interactions with each other? Do you take the high road in the way you treat each other? What is the high road? What is being led by the Spirit of God? It's to care about your relationship more than you care about being right. It's to care about being righteous than just being right. It's to not let the feeling of humiliation cause you to have anger and hatred, but to realize when somebody humiliates you in their sin, they have damaged their own relationship with God. They have damaged their own standing in the greater kingdom of God. And shouldn't we care about their standing before the Creator of all humanity? Shouldn't we care? God said, it is mine to avenge. We're not the one to take retribution and revenge. God will see to it that ultimate justice will come. That doesn't mean we're just passive and do nothing. No, there are things to do. There's ways to love. The example of, okay, they ask you to take, you know, the Roman soldiers could make you take their pack 1 mile. And he said, okay, I'm going to take it 1 mile past that. It's going to mesmerize them. Why are you doing that? Because I'm willing to show you there's a higher value system than what you think brings you security. Having more money than me and more power than me does not make you more valuable than me in the eyes of God or really in the eyes of other people. It shouldn't. Our value system needs to be based upon the heavenly standard where all people are created equal, where every one of us is valued because we are image bearers of God. Don't play the worldly games that people play in this society. Play the heavenly game, right? Not the game of power and dominance to rise above, but to set your mind on things above, on our souls and our security with God. And I want to call on all of us, Westside Church, to really embody these messages from Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, to take the high road in our relationships, and conflicts will inevitably come. What is the high road? It's not always easy to understand. Jesus gives some provocative, very challenging examples. It doesn't mean you're just passive. He's not saying, hey, just let people abuse you. He's saying, love them and come up with a way for them to see the mercies of God. And ultimately, isn't that what Jesus did for each of us? But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. He took the high road. He said, I'm not going to force humanity to follow me and be my disciples. I want to inspire them and call them to understand I will do anything to move their hearts. Let us take the high road and imitate our Lord. Amen? Amen. Let your yes be yes. And understand, don't just resist an evil person, but take the high road of relational reconciliation and bringing them to the foot of the cross. At this time, we're going to reflect on what Jesus did for each of us as we take our communion. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for this time to reflect on Jesus' powerful and provocative words. But even more than that, his example. Lord, thank you for giving your body, shedding your blood to say that we count, that we matter, that you love us, that the old can be washed away, and that we can have a new start, not just one time, but every day. Thank you for the body of Christ given for us as we take the bread. Help it to inspire us, move us to remember to be like him. Thank you for the blood and the fruit of the vine that reminds us that this blood was shed, and it provides an open door into the throne of God. Thank you so much. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You've just listened to the Westside Podcast. For more information about our ministry, please visit thewestsidechurch.com or laicc.net.